Shalom, and welcome to the Lord's house as we share the good news of the Lord Jesus Christ. And now, today's message.
Praise the Lord. Do you ever have one of those weeks that just seems like everything under the sun goes wrong, you know, and it's a battle? It's a stressing situation. I know we all have times like that. Times in our lives that it seems like that nothing we can do is right. Or everything, no matter what it is, just does not work the way it's supposed to work. You know? And I know we can have those times, and I kind of had some of that myself this week, you know. Everything seemed like went wrong. Get up and turn the computer on, it didn't want to work right. Go do something else, it didn't want to work right. All of that. But you know what that is? That's the enemy fighting us, trying to steal from us what God would have for us. Because we serve a gracious and loving God. We serve a God that cares so much that He sent His Son to die for our sins. Because you see, there's nothing we can do in ourselves that would pay the penalty for our sins. But He paid that price for us because God loved us so much. I have a couple of scriptures I want to read to you this morning. First one is in Revelation chapter 22, verses 18 through 19. And that's right at the back of the book, so it should be easy to find. It says, "For I testify unto every man that hears the words of prophecy of this book, if any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book. And if any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life and out of the holy city and from the things which are written in this book." Then in Galatians chapter 1, verses 8 through 10, a scripture that kind of goes along with this, because Paul talking here says, "But though we or an angel from heaven," and I want to specify that part right there, "even though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. As we said before, so say I now again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than that ye have received, let him be accursed. For do I now persuade man or God, or do I seek to please men? For if I yet please men, I should not be the servant of Christ." We got a lot of people out there in the world today that are saying they're preaching the gospel, but they're trying to please men. Amen. Sharon sent me a little clip of this guy that claims he's Jesus Christ. And I remember having seen it sometime probably several months ago and heard of this particular individual. And all you got to do is read a little bit about his life, and you know there's no way in the world he could be Jesus Christ. And I did a little follow-up on it, and according to his ex-wife, he's already died. So that proves again that he wasn't. But he's not the first, and he's not the last. I can remember in my lifetime probably 4, 5, 6, maybe more people that claimed they were Jesus Christ. But they weren't. A lot of false teaching out there. But Paul's saying here in Galatians, basically narrowing it down, we must preach the truth of the gospel. Some people don't want to preach the truth of the gospel because it might offend somebody. And in today's politically correct world, everyone is afraid of offending someone, it seems like. Maybe you've heard about a new translation of the Bible that just came out recently. It's called the New Queen James Bible. And it removes from it any reference that homosexuality is a sin. Doesn't talk about it at all. Removes those scriptures completely out of it. It's not the first translation that has removed stuff to please a group of people. One group of publishers have published Bibles that are in other languages other than English, where they have removed references to Jesus Christ being the Son of God because it might offend Muslims. But I got to ask you, are they concerned about offending us?
Nope.
Absolutely not.
There'll be a rude awakening one of these days too.
They have no concern about offending us. But we've got to be. I want to remind you, Jesus was not afraid of offending people. He was not afraid of offending people when he walked into the temple and he saw the money changers and he overthrew the table and drove them out. I'm sure they were offended by that. I'm surprised they didn't call the cops and try to have him arrested right there. Oh, that Jesus person, man, he came in here, threw my table over and scattered everything, just ruined my business. And a lot of times we turn the house of God into a business. Now, I realize that there are certain aspects that a lot of churches don't seem to understand, or a lot of people don't seem. There are certain aspects about a church that have to be operated like a business. You have to make wise decisions and do things wisely. But we don't turn it into, it's just strictly a business. But that's what the temple was becoming in many ways in Jesus' day. Now I've read these scriptures and I've said these things. And guess what? That's not part of my sermon at all. But I wanted to state that to let you know that as a minister of the gospel, I must preach the word of God. I must preach the word of God, irregardless if I think it might offend someone. Guess what? If there's a sinner who loves his sin, that's sitting in the congregation, and I talk about sin, it's going to offend them. Oh, brother, don't offend anybody. Just preach a happy message. I can't do that because the Word tells me that I must preach this gospel as it is written in God's Word. One pastor I knew, as he prayed, and pastors kind of sometimes get into little ruts, you know, about stuff. And he prayed, every time he prayed before he started his message, he prayed something like this. I remember just one part of the prayer about help me to preach without fear or favor. Without fear or favor. But a lot of messages today are preached from fear that you're going to offend somebody or to favor somebody. Sometimes the gospel of Jesus Christ stings. Sometimes it hurts. Sometimes makes people upset. We have quite a long scripture reading here, and I probably won't read it all, but it's Matthew chapter 25, verses 14 through 28. In Matthew chapter 25, verses 14 through 28, and it's the parable of the talents. And this says, the kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling into a far country who called his own servants and delivered unto them his goods. And he gave, and to one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1, to every man according to his ability, and straightway took his journey. And basically it goes on to say that he that took was given the 5 talents, took his talents and traded them and made another 5 talents. And then he that got the 2 talents, he did the same with his and went on and did that. And then the one that got the 1 talent, he took his talent, he looked at it, went home, dug a hole in the ground and buried his talent. And hid it over until the master come back and he wanted an accounting of what had happened. Now here in the scripture, a talent is referring to an amount of money, basically. It's a coin, possibly. And I looked it all up here as to what a talent could be, as implied here. In the Greek, the word used implies a coin or a sum of money. However, in the Hebrew, the word for talent can also mean a loaf, a morsel, a piece, are a plane or a talent. And in today's English, we look up that word talent. What does the word talent tell us? If we look in the English dictionary, what is talent? It does not call it a sum of money. It calls it a gifting or a gift that you might have. And we think about a talent today as someone's ability to do certain things. For example, singing. My daughter has a talent to sing. Larry shakes his head and says he does not have a talent to sing. And that's the case with some of us. And some of us fall somewhere in between, you know, from sounding like a screeching barn owl to having the most beautiful voice on the face of the planet, you know. And the vast majority of us fall somewhere in between that in our talent of singing. But just because you do not have a talent to sing does not mean that you do not have a talent. A lot of us have talents that maybe we're not even quite aware of that it's a talent. We don't think of it that way because it's so used in our everyday life that it's to us it's just something that we normally have, and doesn't everybody have this type thing, you know? But yet it's a gifting that we may have that is different from what everybody else has. And I want to also point out to you in verse 15, as he gave these to them, it says he gave them according to their ability. God does not expect from you more than he has given you ability to do. Now, sometimes we may think we do not have ability. But maybe it's down in there, and that gift, that talent hasn't been stirred up yet. And when it begins to be stirred up, we find out we've got talents we didn't know we have. But God gives us giftings. God touches our lives. And our talents are all different. Every person here today in this room has a talent of some sort. You have a gifting. You have an ability. You have a way of touching people that no one else has, because you will touch people in your life that nobody else will ever touch. So talent, as we're going to be talking about today, is that gifting, that ability that God has given you. And I want to stress it is Father God that has given it to us, not Mother God, as recently one Catholic priest declared that he died, went to heaven, and God was female, and he was sent back then to proclaim this message. I'm sorry, there is a lot of false doctrine being taught out there today, and we need to verify what is being taught by what is in God's Word. And if it doesn't line up and match up with God's Word, then the first thing we should do is run from it. Don't put up with it. We all have our own unique talents and our abilities. There is no one else like you. And I've heard some people say, boy, it's sure a good thing that there's nobody else like me, because I don't think the world could stand 2 of me. You ever heard anybody say that? We've got some people laughing out there. Yeah, they must have heard or said that, you know. And But you're different. There is nobody else like you. Even identical twins, there is going to be a difference in them. Maybe a lot of people won't notice it, but they do. And our talents and our abilities vary because of that difference. I want to point out to you, though, right in the beginning here, that the more talent or the more ability that we have or that is given to us, guess what? Just like the story here in Matthew, the more that is required from us. The more that is required. As I said, God does not expect from us more than what He has given us ability to do. So to be quite blunt about it, in the story here of the talents, the one that was given the least amount, the least was expected of him. The landowner, whoever he was, let's just call him the boss. We understand that term today real well, the boss. You know, the boss gave one guy 5 talents, and quite frankly, the boss expected return off that 5 talents from that guy. He gave another 2, and he expected return off of that. And he gave the other one 1, and guess what? He expected some return off of that one, but he did not expect the same amount of return from that one that he expected from the guy with the 2 or with the 1 or the 5 because of the ability that he had given them. And it's the same way that God looks at us and our talents and our giftings that He's given us. He expects us according to the ability that He has given us. So he failed in the simple mission that was laid out for him. And sometimes I hear folks say, well, I don't know what my talents are. Any of you ever say that? You don't have to raise your hand, but I'm sure some of you have. I don't know what my talents are. And sometimes they're not always obvious. Again, going back to singing, if you've got a beautiful singing voice, then obviously that's one of your talents. You may have other talents as well. And quite honestly, it might be the only talent you have. But that is a talent or a gifting that God has given you. So sometimes we don't always know what they are. So what do we do in a case like that? Well, I don't know what my talent or my gifting is. What do I do? Well, first of all, we just keep plugging on. Keep on going for God. Keep on going for God. Because guess what? I got a new name for one of the talents in here I'm going to share with you in just a moment. Because your talent might be Jack. What? Yeah, you've all heard of him before, that Jack of all trades, you know? Anybody know somebody that was a Jack of all trades, you know? And of course, I know there's another part to that saying goes along as Jack of all trades and master of none. But a lot of times there are people who are a jack of at least many trades, and they're very good at it. They have various giftings and various talents to do stuff. And it just seems like whatever you put before them, they're able to do it. Well, maybe you don't know what your talent is, but your talent is kind of Jack because you have a variety of talents, and maybe it's not something that stands up and slaps you upside the face and says, this is your talent, but you are able to do stuff and to touch people's lives in a way that nobody else can. My wife, and I'm going to pick on her right now, sometimes says to me she doesn't know what her talents are. Yet I have heard her talk to people, and I say to myself, man, I wish I could do it the way she's doing it. She's worked in a job where She dealt with people, in many cases, that were hurting. They were suffering financially, maybe physically, a number of different ways. They were in a bind and they needed help. And she was able to talk to them and give them some comfort. She was able to help them sometimes in their time of need and giving them the advice that they needed to help resolve the situation that they were in. And sometimes that's the way God lays out our talents. We don't really know exactly what it is. And God doesn't come down and shake us upside to say, hey, Chris, your talent is. No, most of the time, He doesn't do it that way. Now, Chris will probably shake me up after church because he's bigger than me. So, but anyway, God speaks to us all in various ways. Sometimes we want to hear God say, Christopher, and He gets our attention that way. But most of the time He doesn't. He speaks to us in other ways. I will have to tell you, I've been in the ministry for 55 years. I've been preparing for it for 60 years. I prepared for it for 5 years before that, so if you count that into it, 60 years. You want to know how many times that I can count that I believe God spoke to me and I absolutely heard the voice of God telling me exactly what to do? Maybe 3-4 times. But I had to plug on and go on and do what I felt God was leading me to do. The first time was when He called me into the ministry. And when God speaks to your heart in that way, that you know beyond the shadow of a doubt that it was the voice of God that you heard, it will change your life. And you can't, well, I don't want to say you can't ignore it because people can. But you don't want to ignore when God speaks to you. God spoke to me. It changed my career plans. I didn't plan to be a preacher. Last thing I ever thought about, really. Nobody. Well, I shouldn't say nobody in my family was preacher, but I guess I had a great uncle that was and that I didn't even know, but that was it, you know. I wanted to be a cop. That's what I wanted to be. God saw to it in more ways than one that I'd never do that because at the time there was a height limit and I didn't meet the height limit. But when He spoke to me and said, I want you to preach my gospel, I knew that's what I had to do. And that's all I've done the rest of my life. He's spoken to me. I knew what He said. Was it easy? No. Did some doors just automatically start to swing open for me? Uh-uh. I had to go out and knock on a lot of them. And I had some of them that answered and looked at me and said, absolutely not. And others opened up and said, yeah, we'll give you a try. But God began to move. God speaks to our hearts. He touches our lives. He opens doors. He closes doors. He moves us on. God began to speak to me back in the 70s about going on to radio. I knew absolutely nothing about radio, other than the fact that the church I attended had a radio broadcast, and the only ability I knew in that is I knew that in a little room, a little closet under the stairway off the edge of the platform there, they had this piece of equipment that was connected to a telephone line and a microphone that sat out on the platform during their radio broadcast plugged into it. And I knew if you flipped this switch at a certain time, they would be broadcasting on there. And that was my total knowledge of radio. But God saw to it that I could go to college, I could begin to learn about it, know how to do it, open the doors. But you know what? Then one day God closed the door. And that was it. We didn't do it anymore. But he opened another door. And we did something else. So sometimes God opens doors and then closes them. And sometimes you go on to something else because God is moving you in different directions. And what God wants you to do with your life. There are times in using our talents for God that we may feel like giving up. Anybody ever feel like giving up? Yeah? There's times I've went, God, can we go any further with this? And I'll have to be honest, there's times I felt like giving up. But I can't give up because God has given me a calling. He has given me a talent. He has given me a gifting. My gifting may be, and I say, okay, I'm a preacher. That's the gifting that God has given. But he's given a lot of other people that same gifting, and he moves in all of our lives differently. But your gifting may be teacher. Your gifting may be some song leader. Your gifting may be something totally different. Your gifting may be just sitting in the corner somewhere praying for people. But that's the gifting that God gives you. I've told you before, and I think it's appropriate to this message. When I was about 6 years old, I came down with whooping cough. You don't hear too much about that anymore because it's basically one of those diseases that's been eliminated. Or not completely. Huh? Okay, that's what I kind of thought. It was still out there a little bit. I guess that's why we can still get shots. But I came down with whooping cough. If we take the shots, maybe we don't get it. Hopefully. But I came down with whooping cough and I played out in the rain and got pneumonia on top of that. So I had whooping cough. And I had double pneumonia. And when you got whooping cough, you cough, man, type. And my mama told me to be a nice boy, and when I did like that, to cover my mouth with a Kleenex. And I did. But with whooping cough, you go sometimes. And I did like that. And a chunk of Kleenex about this big around went down into my lung and almost killed me. 3 months, I couldn't keep food on my stomach. Everything I ate came back up. I was in the hospital. They had no idea what the problem was. They sent me home basically expecting me to eventually start coughing up part of my. It's what they told my mother to start looking for. Because in their thoughts, I was going to die. But there was a little lady in the church, and I say I've told some of you heard this before, that a lot of people thought was one, maybe two oars short of having enough to row the boat. They thought she was a little goofy. But she knew how to pray. Her gifting might not have been anything as far as the rest of the world was concerned. In fact, they consider her strange. But her gifting was being able to pray. And when she prayed, her prayers touched God. And my mother, knowing that I probably was going to die, asked for her to be brought out to the house, and she said, I know if she prays for him, he'll be okay. They brought her out, I believe it was on a Saturday, and she prayed for me. I don't remember the prayer. But I know on Sunday, I went down to my grandparents' house, and I ate. And I kept food down. Next morning, I got up, and as was usual, the first thing I did was throw up. And I had a doctor's appointment that day. And like I say, they told her to start looking for lung tissue and what I vomited up. There was a chunk of something in there. My mother quite honestly freaked out. She fished it out, took it to the doctor because I had a doctor's appointment. And by that time it had dried and he pronounced it Kleenex. I have a reminder because I have scar tissue on my lung from that. But God used a person that people in the natural thought had no talent in their life. She was just a little old lady who was a few cards short of a full deck. That was most of them's opinion. But God knew she had a talent, and she had a talent that God, that when she used it, what she prayed. And she touched lives. She made a difference in people's lives. And quite frankly, I most likely stand here today in part due to her prayer some 60 plus years ago, because she had a talent that she used, even though to the lot of people it seemed like it was nothing. When God gives us a talent, He wants us to use it. Sometimes in our life, it may seem like our talent's not being used. It may seem like things change. And quite honestly, sometimes things within our life do change. And our talent does change in the sense that we move on into a different area of use of our talent. But whatever our talent is that God has given us, let's make sure we use that talent that God has given us. Use it. Put it to use. Don't be like the person who buried their talent and lost everything, but put your talent to use. And say, God, whatever it is, show me. Use my talent, and God, I'm going to work for you. Maybe I don't know exactly what it is that I'm going to do, but I'm going to go out there and I'll do whatever is available to me to do, to work for you, until you open that door that you want me to go through. Because sometimes the door is not quite ready yet for you to go through it. And I know that from personal experience, that there were times the door was not ready. I wanted to go through it. I was anxious to go through it. But it wasn't time. But I will tell you, when the time came, God stepped in, and everything that had hindered us, everything that had caused us problems, ceased to exist, and it took place because it was God's time. We all have talent. We need to use our talents, whatever they may be. And sometimes, my buddy Christopher here, I'm picking on Christopher today, but Christopher stands out there at that door on Sunday morning. Amen. He greets people. Christopher goes back because right now in the summertime we've got a spider problem out there. And Christopher comes in here and gets the broom, and he goes out there and he sweeps those spider webs down so that you don't have to rush through spider webs going in. And we appreciate what Christopher is doing. That's what God has gifted him with doing out there. And I appreciate it as he greets people and takes care of cleaning up the flags up and taking them down and things like that, because that is the talent that God has given them. And today, are you using your talent? Father, I just pray right now that you would speak to people's hearts wherever they may be. Father, whether it's here in this congregation or whether it's someone that's listening by another means, Father, that you would speak to their heart, Father. Help them to realize, Father, that they have talent that they've got, Father, and help them to put that talent to use, Father. Father, I thank you in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.
You have been listening to a message from the Lord's House. If this ministry has blessed you, please let us know. You may email us at pastor@tlhf.us, or you may write us at the Lord's House Fellowship, P.O. Box 1348, Spring Hill, Tennessee, 37174. Or if you would like to attend a service at the Lord's House, we are located at 1131 Maple Ash Avenue, Columbia, Tennessee. And until next time, Shalom.